What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I did want to let y'all know that there will not be a show this Friday or next Monday because I will be headed to Phoenix to do some recording in the studio with the homie Lex, get some music done for his solo album. So I'll be in the studio all weekend. So in Phoenix, so I won't be doing any shows on Friday or Monday. So I will be back next Friday, June 12th, with a new show. All right, so let's get into, we actually have some NFL news to begin today, which is shocking because, you know, really just OTAs are going on for some teams right now. But we had a couple of big-ass trades. One mega deal that I really did not expect to happen, and that is defensive end Myles Garrett is headed to the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, good for the Rams to go all in like they just did on Myles Garrett, and that is a big-ass move that they needed to make. And Myles Garrett is easily the best defensive player in the league and has been for many years. So they're getting a big-ass dude. All they had to do was trade away Jared Verse, who is a good defensive end, don't get me wrong, but he ain't Myles Garrett. They also traded away 3 draft picks as well, a 1, a 2, and a 3. So, I mean, the Cleveland Browns are getting a haul for Myles Garrett, as they should. But I really actually did not expect him to be traded ever. I thought he was going to be kind of like Joe Thomas and end up being a lifer Cleveland Brown dude. But, you know, lucky for him, he is now officially a Los Angeles Ram, and he actually finally has a chance at winning a Super Bowl now. Not saying that's who's obviously winning it this year, but I mean, hey, now he at least has a chance. Much better shot than he did when he was playing with the Cleveland Browns, that's for sure. So huge, huge move by the Los Angeles Rams. Another big move, A.J. Brown. This one's less shocking to me. I actually expected this one to happen. The wide receiver, A.J. Brown, with the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, he's been going back and forth with them for about 2 years now. He really has not been happy where he's at. He ended up getting traded to the New England Patriots. Shout out to ho-ass Diana Russini. I'm sure she had plenty to do with that. You know, fucking every coach in the goddamn league for all her stories. Not going to really get into that story too much because that's not really what kind of a show we're in. But if you would like to have fun, go ahead and just Google Diana Russini and Mike Vrabel and all the coaches this hoe has been fucking. And it's not just her either. There's a few other of these bitches. And what really just pisses me off is it just ruins things for women like me because I ain't one of those hoe-ass bitches, and I don't respect hoe-ass shit like that. Don't respect hoe-ass shit from that from coaches either, but definitely don't respect hoe-ass shit from that from women because that just brings me and other women like me down. So fuck you, Diana Russini, but I'm sure you and Mike Vrabel are just humping it up over this trade that the New England Patriots got today. Anyways, let's get on to the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week, and not a lot of changes. Still number one, who was just killing it in every single way, but we do have a couple of teams that are kind of moving up. We'll see if we continue to talk about them, but we are now. So let's begin with number one, the Atlanta Braves. It remains the Atlanta Braves simply because they are just on fire and really cannot be stopped. They're the first team to 40 wins on the season. They are 40-20 on the regular season. 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Boston Red Sox and the Cincinnati Reds, and they got Acuña Jr. back. And like I said, he was the only dude so far who really hasn't really made a big difference, and that all changed this since he came back this past week and a half. He had 5 home runs, and a couple of games, he had 2 home runs. One, he had a grand slam. So he just is on fire right now, and that's exactly what the Braves need. I mean, they were already looking really good. Now that their superstar MVP player is looking like he's in line for just getting back in line the way he's used to playing. And then Spencer Strider, too. I don't know, man. This Braves team looks pretty damn good. Then you also have Michael Harris having a career year, batting a .307, 13 home runs, 36 RBI. I mean, this team is really just stacked from top to bottom. There really is not a weakness at all. And now that Acuña has busted it open, there is no weakness at all with this Atlanta Braves team. Then at number 2 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that is moving back up, the stupid-ass Dodgers. 38-21 on the season, 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they swept the Colorado Rockies and took the series over the Philadelphia Phillies. And, I mean, the reason why they are surging is because now they are just kicking ass in pretty much every every category right now. I mean, they are first in the league right now with batting average. Amongst the team is 263. They have the lowest ERA with the 307, lowest whip with 107, and then they're third right now with runs, with 314 runs in the league. So they are just back on fire. Otani is, he kind of started off the season slow behind the plate. But now his bat's on fire. He is striking them out like no other. He's getting wins. And the Dodgers just really look like the typical stupid-ass Dodgers. So they are back on top as usual. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 35-21. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the St. Louis Cardinals and the Houston Astros. And man, Mizorowski, he is obviously the dude this year. I mean, we all pretty much expected him to, you know, have a good year this year, but who knew it was going to be the way it is now? He has 6 wins on the season with only a 1.65 ERA and 108 strikeouts, and the guy is just wheeling and dealing at over 100 miles an hour on some of these pitches. He is nuts, and he is something else for this Brewers team, and he is really just looking so good, and it's just crazy how good this Brewers team actually is, because it's not even just him. I mean, Jake Bowers is having a phenomenal year himself, batting a 280 with 9 home runs, 35 RBI, and they're really just getting it done in all ways. I mean, offensively, they're really solid. Starting pitching's good. Bullpen, really good as well. And offensively, just having no issues, taking care of the ball on the defensive side as well. So they're just an all-around really good team, and as long as Mizorowski is pitching the way he is pitching, they are going to be really difficult to get any guys on base with. Then at number four in my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Tampa Bay Rays. Overall record of 36-20. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Baltimore Orioles, but took the series over the Los Angeles Angels. And Junior Caminero, he is on fire right now. He has been knocking them out of the park, batting a 278, 13 home runs, 28 RBI. As I've mentioned, the starting pitching has been out of control this year. McClanahan is back to his old ways. He's got 6 wins on the season. It kind of feels like now every time he comes out to pitch, you cannot get anybody on base, and he's getting the win. So he's really getting the run support, and this Rays team is just shockingly still the best team in the American League. So still looking pretty solid right now. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees. Overall record of 36-23. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Kansas City Royals and the Sacramento A's. And it's really shocking that we're not talking about Aaron Judge this year. I mean, Aaron Judge is having a phenomenal year, but this Yankees team is just being completely dominated by Ben Rice. I mean, he is killing it, batting a 306. 17 home runs, 44 RBI. That leads the team in all categories. But then you got Aaron Judge right behind him, batting 248, 17 home run, 38 RBI. And then you have Cody Bellinger also right behind him, batting 271, 8 home run, 38 RBI. So it's just been a really solid year from the Yankees and their hitting. And then you got Chaz Chisholm, who's really starting to get going. And they're starting pitching. You know, you got Schlittler, who's been having a phenomenal year. Cole has just come back for his last couple of starts, and he's been money, both of his starts. Then they still have Freed, who's on the injured list, who's going to be coming back. So I just kind of feel like the Yankees are going to be stacking and getting the wins. And right now, I mean, you know, the Rays are at the top of the American League, but you look at the Yankees, and I kind of feel like the Yankees are more built for the long run as opposed to the Rays. I feel like the Rays are going to have to prove it more to me than the Yankees will, but we'll see how it goes, because so far both teams are playing really well. Did it number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that I'm still shocked that we're talking about, and moving up as well is the Washington Nationals. Overall record of 31-29 on the regular season, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Cleveland Guardians and the San Diego Padres. And I mean, this starting pitching is, especially in the month of May, you could not score on them. Griffin, Littell, Savali. I don't think Littell lost a game that he started in the month of May. That's how legit he was for the month of May. And then you also, on the offensive side, you've got a lot of young guys. Abrams, Wood, Lyle. These guys are really reliable. They're getting on base, and it's not even just hitting them out of the park. They are getting on base. They're stealing bases, and then they're setting their team up in position to get the scores that that are necessary towards the end of games or in really close matchups. And they just are getting it done in all ways, and it just kind of feels really weird because I was not expecting this at all from the Nationals, but they are putting it together, and it just kind of feels like they're doing it in every way you can. And with veterans, with young guys, and like I said, with the pitching and the hitting, and they just look like a really solid team right now. Then number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Chicago White Sox, overall record of 32-27. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Minnesota Twins and the Detroit Tigers. Unfortunately, they got some bad news. Murakami is going to be on the injured list, and it looks like he's going to be out at least a month, maybe a little bit longer. You know, that's 20 home runs and 41 RBI, and he has really sparked this team. Not that the rest of this team can't really rally. I mean, he's not the only one doing it. I mean, their starting pitching has been difficult to score on as well. But I kind of feel like that's going to take a little bit of wind out of their sails and maybe set them back a little bit. But overall, this team has looked pretty solid, even though Murakami is now on the injured list. A team now that we have surging, who we haven't really discussed this year, and really nobody in this division at all has really shown out up until this point. And that is at number 8, the Seattle Mariners, overall record of 31-29. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the A's and the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they are getting a lot of offensive production out of Luke Raley, who has been money since the start of the season. Randy Arozarena is having a great year as well. Julio Rodriguez, you know, he's been very streaky throughout the last couple of seasons, but this year he is, especially the last about month-ish of baseball, he's really turned it on, and he's not only getting on base, but he's stealing bases, and he looks like he's the old J-Rod that we were used to seeing. And then, of course, the starting pitching with Kirby and Wu. Both of these guys, they are so difficult to get guys on base, and they are striking everybody out, and they're getting a lot of wins, and they are the reason why the Seattle Mariners are just pushing it to the top right now. Like I said, nobody in this division is really standing out. I mean, the Rangers are just meh. The Astros are terrible, and you got the A's as well, who are okay, but you just never know what to expect from the A's. Especially, I mean, you look how terrible the A's have been at home this year. It's really insane to watch. But we're not talking about the crappy A's. We're talking about the Mariners, who are really their only team in their division who have actually shown that they're a legit squad. And it's also weird because, you know, it's not, you know, with the year that Cal Raleigh had last year, you know, of course he's injured right now. But before that, he wasn't even looking like he was last year. So, it's been a slow start for the Mariners, but they're kind of looking like they were towards the end of last season, and they're definitely the standout in their division, at least at this point. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Cleveland Guardians, overall record of 34-27. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Washington Nationals and lost a series to the Boston, almost called them the Boston Celtics, the Boston Red Sox. Wrong sport, stupid. But they are getting some great pitching from Gavin Williams, 8 wins on the season, 3.07 ERA and 88 strikeouts. And then Parker Messick as well, 6 wins, 2.21 ERA and 74 strikeouts. Both of these guys come out to pitch, and it's almost going to be a win almost every time they come out. And then they're getting some of the offensive support. You know, Rocchio, he is having a great year. He's really not been quiet at all with his bat. He has been money pretty much every time he comes up to bat. But unfortunately for the Guardians, they're too streaky for me to really start believing in them. But I mean, those two pitchers, they really are good. And I kind of feel like they're in another one of those divisions that's up for grabs. And if those two pitchers are just able to maintain what they're doing, and then they just get a little bit of offensive production from the Rocchios and the Ramirez and those type of guys who are used to at least giving them a little bit of offensive production, I always expect the Guardians to be in it. And they are in it right now. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the Arizona Diamondbacks, overall record of 31-27. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the San Francisco Giants and then got swept by the Seattle Mariners. Mike Soroka has not cooled off at all this season. He's got 7 wins on the season, 3.25 ERA, and 60 strikeouts. And it kind of feels like every time he comes out to pitch, it is a win. Corbin Carroll having a great year as well, 287 batting average with 7 home runs and 28 RBI. And really, this team is, they're just another team that knows how to get it done in so many different ways. Just getting on base. They don't have to hit home runs. They just get on base, stealing bases, and then just setting up their guys to get in scoring position. And then you get really solid pitching from Soroka. And Merrill Kelly is actually, you know, he started off the season really bad. Now his last few starts look pretty good. So it kind of feels like the Diamondbacks are one of those teams that's going to be hovering around the wild card playoff area probably all season. All right, so now we know who is headed to the NBA Finals. Those begin on Wednesday. It is going to be the New York Knicks versus the San Antonio Spurs. I think this is going to be a really solid matchup. I mean, crazy enough, they faced off in the NBA Cup against each other, and the New York Knicks got the win in that one. So it's kind of it was kind of foreshadowing already to begin with there. I think the Spurs are actually better than before back in the when the Cup was going on. Just because at that time, I think they just got Wemby back from injury, if I remember correctly. So he wasn't really, you know, in playing shape just yet. But the New York Knicks, they were actually soaring at this point in time. So I kind of feel like right now, the Knicks are obviously, of course, soaring. I mean, they've only lost 2 games in this entire playoff run. But then again, they are in the Eastern Conference. San Antonio Spurs, though, they've played great basketball this whole season. And they look like, I continue to watch them with like a skeptical eye because they're so young, but man, they've been really hard to pick against. I've tried not picking against them. I of course picked against them in the last round, but it was more just over experience than anything. But they've proven so far that they are a legit squad, and it's not just because of Victor Wembanyama. I mean, Stephon Castle, Vassell, and even dudes who like Corbett, who's not a guy who's always in the game, but he comes in and makes a big difference for this team. So I really like what I see from the Spurs. And even though the Knicks, I really think that, you know, they're the veteran squad. I think they definitely are going to push the Spurs to the brink. But I don't know if they have an answer for Wemby. And I was talking about that in the previous episode, where I was talking about the Western Conference Finals, and I kind of felt like whoever the Knicks faced off against, they were going to have issues with the centers because they don't really have a good matchup who can match. I mean, nobody really has a good matchup for Wembanyama. We all know that. But even if it was Chet Holmgren and Hartenstein, they didn't have an answer for those two guys either. So that's my only thing with the Knicks is, A, they're in the Eastern Conference, and then B, they don't really have an answer for Victor Wembanyama. I think they're going to be kind of surprised at what they're going to get from the Spurs, too. I kind of feel like the Spurs, they are a team that play with a chip on their shoulder. I think they all know that most of us believe in them. We think they're a good team, but I don't think any of us really thought they were a championship-level team just yet, and myself included. I absolutely 100% believe that. I thought they were a good team, but did not think they were going to be here just yet. I felt they were like 1 year away, and hell, who knows, maybe the Knicks will humble them and we'll see that in this. But I really don't actually think that's going to be the case. I don't see the Spurs falling back and be like, oh my God, we're playing the New York Knicks. How dare us? Like, we're going to have no answers for Jalen Brunson. And it's like, well, how's Brunson going to run down the paint, run down the middle when Wemby's standing right there? I don't think he's going to fare too well against that, you know? So I think it's going to be a decent series. But I actually feel like the Spurs are going to dominate it for the most part. I think the Spurs are the better team. I think they're less streaky than the Knicks, because that's the thing about the Knicks. They have been so streaky all season long, and you really haven't been able to believe in them. And even in the Eastern Conference, they weren't the top team in the Eastern Conference. Yeah, they made their way to the NBA Finals, but they are the number 4 seed. So they shouldn't, or number 3, either one. They were not the number 1 seed. And they had a lot of proving to do to even get here to the NBA Finals. So I just kind of feel like the Spurs, I feel like, are the better team. I feel like they're more ready, and I feel like they play with a bigger chip on their shoulder. Not that the Knicks are going to fall back and be like, oh my God, this is Wembanyama. Let's just bow down to him, because I'm sure they're sick and tired of hearing that shit. And I feel like they're definitely going to bring it. You know, I love what Jalen Brunson's been doing ever since he came into the league, really. But definitely since he's become a New York Knick, I mean, he's obviously the dude. Somebody else is going to have to step up besides him. Their bench is going to have to step it up, and I kind of feel like that's where the Spurs are going to beat them. Because there is always, in every single series, especially the NBA Finals, there is always a bench game. There is always a game where you need your bench to do something big. And I just kind of feel like the Spurs have a deeper bench. I feel like they're more ready, and I just don't really see the Knicks. They don't have an answer for Victor Wembanyama there in the middle. So I am going with the San Antonio Spurs in six games to beat the Knicks in the NBA Finals, which begins on Wednesday. But should be a fun series. Regardless, we're going to have a new champion, so that's also great too. I mean, so we'll be seeing something new. I mean, we're going to be seeing something new regardless, because these are going to be new players that a lot of people haven't really seen. I mean, even from like dudes like Jalen Brunson. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people who are like, who is Jalen Brunson? They're going to see this dude. He's going to take over some games, guarantee you, as well. So I just kind of feel like we're getting to see some new players shine at the right time. And, you know, see, it's cool to see a guy like Victor Wembanyama, who has literally, since even before he was drafted in the league, have a lot of expectations on him before he's drafted, then have a lot of expectations on him while he's drafted. And here he is with his team in the NBA Finals. But like I said, it is not all just him. This San Antonio Spurs team is deep. They are a really good team. They're also really well coached too. I mean, their coaches, not just their head coach, but their coaches from top to bottom. They are a really, really solid squad. And this is another example of, like I was talking about earlier in the season with the Detroit Pistons and the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's the same thing with the San Antonio Spurs. Those are all three teams that were bottom of the barrel teams that had shit going on. They took number one overall picks, and now here they are completely revamping things. And, you know, Detroit was the number one overall seed in the East. Oklahoma City is the defending champs, and they were the number one overall seed in the Western Conference. And then here you have the San Antonio Spurs, who are now here in the NBA Finals. So it's really actually cool to see the turnaround of a lot of teams like that who were bottom of the barrel, and now here they are in the NBA Finals. It also gives you hope if your team is a bottom of the barrel team. You can actually kind of look at that and go, that is actually true. We have had a few teams over the years be terrible and completely turn it around by getting the number one overall pick. So since we are talking about basketball, why don't we talk about how I thought the season was going to go and see how bad I did. Actually, this year, with the NBA at least, I actually didn't do too terrible with my preseason picks. So this is how I thought the Western Conference was going to turn out for this season. So I had the number one overall seed being my Los Angeles Lakers. So you could see how I felt like the season was going to go. Didn't turn out that way. The number two overall seed I have is the Oklahoma City Thunder, because I assumed they were still going to be good, as they were. Then my number three overall seed I had was the Houston Rockets. They weren't that high, but they were still there, made the playoffs. Then the number four overall seed I had was the Minnesota Timberwolves. They made it. Number five, I had the Golden State Warriors. Nah, not so much. Number six, I had the Denver Nuggets. They actually were better than I expected. Number seven, I had the San Antonio Spurs. Much better than I expected. See, I had them making the playoffs. I just did not have them anywhere near the NBA Finals. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to cover all the rounds of the playoffs that I predicted, but I did have the Spurs losing in the first round, so good for me. And then the number eight seed I had in the Western Conference was the Memphis Grizzlies, who were terrible this year. And then the Eastern Conference, my number one overall seed was the New York Knicks, so I was right there. Well, they weren't the number one overall seed, but hey, they were there. Then my number two overall seed I had was the Cleveland Cavaliers. Not a bad pick. Then number three, Miami Heat. Terrible. Number four, Boston Celtics. They made it. Number five, Milwaukee Bucks. Terrible. Number six, Orlando Magic. Actually, that's about where they were, so I was right about them. Number seven, Indiana Pacers. No, terrible. And then number eight, the Detroit Pistons. See how bad I thought the Pistons were going to be? What an idiot. But that's how I felt the East and West were going to turn out. And then my Western Conference Finals prediction I had was the Houston Rockets versus the Los Angeles Lakers. Completely wrong on that. And then my Eastern Conference Finals prediction I had was the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the New York Knicks. So I was actually 100% right about that. And then my NBA Finals, of course, I had the Los Angeles Lakers versus the New York Knicks. And I'm only half right about that one. So I was right about the Knicks and, of course, wrong about my Lakers. But, You know, that's how I thought the season was going to turn out. I got to say, my predictions weren't as bad as they normally turn out to be, especially, you know, the championship I'm usually completely wrong on. But I mean, the majority of the teams I selected for the postseason actually did make it. So there you go. And my Eastern Conference Finals, I was spot on with that one. So actually, I did pretty decent for how I usually do with my preseason predictions. But obviously, you could see Lakers fan was dreaming hard this year and didn't work out for my dumb ass. So that's how it goes for all of us basketball fans, because so far it's only worked out for the Spurs and the Knicks, and we'll see who it doesn't work out for when it's all said and done between those two. But the NBA Finals do begin on Wednesday night, New York Knicks versus San Antonio Spurs, and we'll see how that goes down. Remember, y'all, no shows Friday or next Monday. I will be back on June 12th, so enjoy the NBA Finals, and I will talk to you fools next Friday.